So let's pray.
Thank you, Father, for the blessing you've given to us in your word, the revelation you've given of your character, your nature, what you have done, and, Father, what you desire from us. Father, give us insight tonight as we learn another skill in digging into your word that we might know what the truth is and not be led astray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so correlation. Let's run over the notes. These are the things you should have read. Did everybody get a chance? Does everybody have the book? Let's start with that. Anybody not have the book? Okay. All right. You need to order it. You can get it online. You can get a hard copy, or you can get the Kindle version. I'm an old guy. I like things in my hand that are tangible. But you can get either one, because a lot of stuff I'm referring to, I'm just going to refer to the page and the figure. I didn't put that up on a PowerPoint. For one reason, I don't really want to violate the guy's copyright. If I have everything in his book up on my PowerPoint, that may not be too cool. And like today, there will be quite a few examples where I'm going to, go to figure X, and here it is. You need to look at that. Not only that, but the homework is reading the section, and then the questions are usually in the back of that section. Okay? So you'd be at a disadvantage without it. You'll pick up a few things, but you'll be at a great disadvantage without it. All right. Lane okay?
Yes.
Who's coming? Oh. Okay. Well, we're going to have to either add another cable or we'll get her stuck in there someplace. All right. All right. Correlation. That was page 103 to 127. As you read through that, you could see what that was review, what you had there. So correlation, relating what is being studied with other portions of scripture and within the section itself. That's the idea of correlation. And as you see, there's different things you're going to correlate. That's scripture interprets scripture. So we got to look through scripture to see what it says about whatever subject, get it. So one method of correlation is cross-referencing. That's comparing passages that use the same word or it's cognate. Does everybody know what a cognate is? Okay. You have a word and you have, which has a root, and it's all the words that come out of that root. Okay. Love, loving, lovable. Those are cognates. They're related to a root idea. So you could look up a particular word in Greek and Hebrew. There's usually a root, and then it's everything that comes off that root. And it could be verbs, nouns, adjectives, participles, all those parts of speech you forgot once you got out of high school. Okay. We're going to go over them again. No, I didn't like grammar school to begin with. That's what I mean by cognate. So you're looking up the root idea and trying to trace through what it really means. Okay. That's cross-referencing. That's the foundation of both word studies and biographical sketches. So if you're going to look up and do a sketch on some person, right, you can look up every passage you can find that mentions the person, whether by name or by reference. So that's probably one of the things you could probably do more than anything else, is just cross-referencing. What does a word mean? How does it word? Okay, parallel cross-reference. Okay, these are passages that say virtually the same thing. It could be a parallel account, like in the Gospels. You have four accounts, and a lot of them have the same story in it, or two or three might have a story in it. And so they're parallel. In 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, there's a lot of parallels. Sometimes you'll find it in Psalms. You'll find a Psalm is in Chronicles and in the Psalms. Okay, so those are parallel passages. Isaiah has a parallel passage with 2 Kings, dealing with Hezekiah. Or it may be cross-referencing with something that is the same kind of phrasing. Now, I have down here as well, where you can find these. According to lexicon, lexicon is, we think of it as a dictionary, but it's what does the word mean. Here, a concordance, again, you can look up things cross-referencing. TSK is Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. So if you either get that or it's on your computer, that's what we mean by TSK, or a topical Bible. You can look up a subject, and it gets lots of cross-references. Okay, some is just cross-referencing. Okay, that's one way to do a study. Another one, corresponding cross-references. Comparing passages refer to the same event or comparing a passage of scripture with reference or a quote from it. You're reading through the New Testament, and Paul said, you know, the prophet said, well, you probably should go back and look in the Old Testament where the prophet said it, put it in context. Well, Isaiah, back to Isaiah. That's what we're talking about there. All right. Next. Idea cross-referencing. Similar ideas or thoughts. This is how a lot of theology is developed. I'm tracing an idea through scripture. Concordance, again, TSK, topical Bible are standard ways to find those. Okay, contrasting cross-references, comparing similar examples, whether the actions, responses are similar or opposite. For example, you could do a biographical sketch and compare Saul with King David. It's actually a very interesting study. And when you do that, you will find out why, though David was a guy used to come to the office all the time when I was in Los Angeles. He loved to come in. And the first thing he said, David was a great sinner. Yes, Carlos, David was a great sinner, but God loved him. Like, yes, Carlos, God loves him. And he always took that encouragement. That means that God can love me too. David's a great sinner, and yet scripture says he's a man after God's own heart. Saul's a great sinner. He's not a man after God's own heart. Why? Character sketch. Comparing the two, you will find out why. Okay? It's not their sin. It's their response to it. Another one, Jesus versus Adam. In fact, in Romans, Paul does that. The first Adam, the second Adam. You do a cross, a contrasting, or one king versus another. In First and Second Kings, usually it has some reference to, and he was not like, or he was like, usually it's David. He was not like his father. No, he followed in his father's sin. So that's what we mean by contrasting cross-references. Okay, personal paraphrase or scripture versions. This is helpful if you're not a Greek speaker or Hebrew speaker, you're using translations. And if you compare translations, you can get a better sense in your own language of what may be there in the original languages. That's the idea of it. So sometimes it's, you know, I'll look at several different ones. I usually look at ESV, see how they phrased it. New King James, those are the most common ones I go to compare it with the NAS. If I go to Darby, Young's, Net Bible, something else, just seeing how they're trying to convey the meaning of a word, because I want to do the same thing. I want to convey it in something that's understandable to people I'm talking to. Another thing that's helpful to make sure you grasp it right out in your own language. See if you can paraphrase the passage. How would you explain this passage to somebody how would you explain it to a child? The Living Bible was done for that purpose. He paraphrased it so he could help his grandkids understand the Bible. Now, understand that when you're paraphrasing, you're losing something because you're doing an interpretation as well. But are you getting it? Are you getting the sense of it? Can you write it out in your own words? Okay. Next, detailed outline. This will help you recognize the sequencing of action and a narrative, the flow of the author's thought, the logic in a non-narrative passage. If you outline Paul, you can see usually fairly logical. You try and outline First John, and you're like, it's a circle. Actually, it's more like it's concentric. It goes around and around, and he just keeps building. It's not for the Greek mind. So, but you can try and get a sense of what's going on. Narratives, you're tracing through history. What happened? What's the sequencing here? Those are all helpful. Usually, in your, if you have a study Bible, in your introduction to it, there's material. Usually, there's an outline. Okay. This is a, I don't know if they print this one anymore. This is the Oldham Bible. So there's this introductory stuff in the middle, or going into it, who the author is, time, theme, that. And then there's an outline, like this is Ephesians, and he gives an outline for it. Okay. I put my own outline in it for my own sake, a little simpler than theirs, so I get the overall flow of it, but outline. See if you can see what the flow is. It's a very good way to try and grasp something. If you're doing a book study, you really need to outline. Okay? You can also get that from commentaries, Bible overviews. Let's see how you're doing. Charts. Charts help you grasp things visually. Charts seem to be becoming more important. We've become a much more visual society. And some people just don't get it unless you can put a picture to it. David's found that out teaching grammar school. He's like, he's got to put a picture up or the kids just don't get it. But they can help at a glance where you can see sequencing or you can get the ideas. And he listed several of them. We're going to talk more about these survey charts. Essentially putting your outline into a chart form, figure 21 through 26, page 109. And forward. So the first one was this, the First Thessalonians. So Paul's greeting, Paul's prayer, and he just outlines it. Okay, that's one simple way of doing it. But he has several others. There's another one, just different style, called Second Timothy. It likes different charts. Use whatever helps you. Okay? I've done a lot of charting, but I don't necessarily like doing it. But if it helps you, then that's good. Okay? It can get very extensive. Here's this chart of Epistle to the Hebrews. So it gets very extensive there. Okay, so this is where your book is helpful. So, I guess next time I'm going to have to get it on PowerPoint because hopefully you didn't bring a book. Okay, so hopefully you just remember it because you studied this chapter so well, right? Okay, some kind of outline form. Comparative charts, essentially putting comparative study into a chart form. That was figure 28-29 on page 116. He set up a chart so he could do this. Now, this could be helping you study. So he has Paul's journeys. There's three journeys, right? So 1, 2, 3. Okay, where it's found, when it probably happened, places he visited, how long he stayed, churches established, who was traveling with him, letters written, and the dates. So that's a simple way to do it. But it keeps your information kind of handy so you can figure out what's going on. Did another one on Paul's imprisonments, you know, where it was, what it was for. So comparative charts, topical grid, essentially putting a topical study into a chart form, figure 27, page 115. All right, and on this he... Verses on the left side, positive characteristics, negative attitudes, relationships, activities. So he could just keep up with it. It's his topical, but it helps him organize it in his mind. However it works for you. You don't have to do it in any of these ways. However it works for you, try and grab a sense of what's going on in scripture. Okay? Passage description, method of writing down observations for comparison, figures 30 and 31. 31 is page 118. So this was a way for him to keep track of his observations. All right. So you could just, if you had just a long thing of observations, you know, everything I see in, you know, John 14, and you just start writing them down, you have this long list. Well, if you have a chart or something, you can at least kind of break it up a little bit so you can find the information later when you're going back to review it. Or it'll help you organize your mind what's going on. That's the idea. Okay. Again, however it works for you, use that method. There's no right or wrong. It's just aids. Okay. Chronological charts. Those are like timelines. He has one figure 33, period of the divided kingdom. So he can put in, the date on the left side, tribe, Judah, Israel, and then it's broken up years, where he's good or bad, which king, when did he start, when did he end. It's just a timeline. Or you could do one of those long timelines, you know, it's just stretched out, you know, out the hall, and, you know, you can put things, here's the date and what happened there, and it can get pretty complex. But at least you can see where everything fits together, right? If you're trying to correlate things going on historically in different areas, those are actually very helpful. Because at least you can line them up vertically of what's going on at the same time in other places. Okay? Chronological charts. Pyramid charts. Okay? If you like them, some people like triangles, so, okay. So, figure 34 and 35, page 121. To me, it looks like he put in a sequence and he put a triangle around it. Okay. It helped him. If it helps, good idea. Illustrative charts. Now, here's for the artists in you. For those who like to doodle, you'll probably end up with an illustrative chart, whether you want to or not. So here's one, it's just illustrations. Here's one with, okay, he's got a kind of a mixture, page 123. He's got the mean man, the non-Christian scowling, oh, life is bad. The Christian is happy. Heaven, oh, we've got a bliss. Look at that. So the little, you know, so he's got his other thing. So, hey, if it helps, that's great. When I was in college, I had a history teacher that was a frustrated artist is what he really was. We'd walk in and on a chalkboard, he had this elaborate illustration of what he was going to talk about that day. You know, historical figure and things around it. And like, you know what? Actually made history a lot more fun. I love history, so I never had a problem, but it kept other kids awake because they'd walk in and he's just like, I don't know why. History is interesting, but I'm weird, so. I did a Bible study doing Daniel 11. Everyone was asleep except me. I'm like, wow, I did a good job tonight. I thought it was fascinating, but. So you put illustrations, maybe it'll get people to pay attention or use your artistic. Combination charts, again, here's another one. So he's got his chart and he's got illustrations. For the budding artist or the person who's good at that, you can do all that kind of stuff. All right? So that was what your reading was, and that's just a review of it, so you're caught up. So the bottom line of this, use the method that helps you understand. Okay? I am not doing illustrative charts. My stick figures are terrible. If you ever played the, what's that game, illustrations or something where you, everybody has a book? Well, there's Pictionary, no. There's Pictionary. There's a couple of them where you're supposed to draw things. There's win, lose, draw. You draw something and you never know what I drew. Could be anything. So I'm not doing that. If someone else is like, I like it, but I am not doing illustrative charts. Okay? Whatever helps. You will probably notice over the years, I will throw up pictures. I will throw up charts and stuff on the PowerPoints if I can think it can help the congregation grasp an idea fairly quickly. Okay? All right. So let's get to the homework. So you're going to look this stuff up. And now, if you're on Zoom, you can unmute yourself if you'd like to throw in what you found. So first was resurrection, and then what references did you find for it? All right, anybody do this lesson? All right, we have some. So this should be fairly simple, okay? You looked up the word resurrection. You found some references for it. Hannah, Philippians 3:10. Okay, you can write that in your notes if you want as a one. Were there other? Ladies first. John 5:29. Okay, looking forward, okay? Mark 12:23. All right, anybody get John 11? Okay, I like that one. I'm a resurrection. All right, so there's a lot of verses on that, right? Okay. So that was simple. Okay, how about pride? Proverbs. Got the same reference. Wow, were you doing the homework together? Okay. How many else got a reference in Proverbs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot in Proverbs, right? Okay, someone find a reference not in Proverbs. Danielle. Okay. You got the same. Wow. Okay. What is Mark 7:22?
I didn't write it down. Oh, I'm sorry. Deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride.
Okay. Things that come out of the heart. Okay, pride. A third reference, Hannah. Psalm 36:11, which is?
Let not the foot of pride come again, and let not the hand of the wicked rise.
Okay. So when you look at these references, you're getting a little more understanding of the usage of the word and its meaning. How about you had pride? How about proud? Hey, Danielle? Well, you got to have the same verse anyway. Deuteronomy 8:14. Okay.
Would that be considered a common thought?
Actually, if you're following the root, it's going to have this same root.
Yeah.
Isaiah 3:16. Pride of the people.
It's the daughters of Zion, they're proud and they work with their heads held high and seductive eyes and go along with mincing steps and tingle their bangles on their feet.
So the way they walk demonstrated this.
They're proud.
Proud and haughty looks. Jason, we'll let Jason go.
I got Psalm 44. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not turn to the proud. For those who
okay. So don't go seek out the people who are proud. Okay, Hannah. Okay. So these aren't too hard, is it? This is pretty easy, right? All right. Propitiation. Whoa. Propitiation. Okay. Romans 3:25. It's not used a lot. Okay.
Hebrews 2:17.
There wasn't that much.
First John 2:1-3. Okay, that Sam had that one. He's a propitiation for our sins, not only ours, but for the whole world.
First John 2:2.
Okay. So what does propitiation mean?
Atonement.
A substitute? Atonement?
Satisfaction.
Satisfaction? Okay. Anybody look it up in a lexicon? Looked up in an English dictionary? Guessing? Okay. Propitiation is an interesting word. It's related to satisfaction, but it's the turning away. There is a payment paid that turns away. The satisfaction is actually the absorption of the wrath. There's a satisfaction for it. But this is looking more at turning toward it. One guy illustrated, I thought it was a pretty good illustration. He said, propitiation, a missile of God's wrath is launched at you. It's coming in. All right? So propitiation is the payment made that turns that missile away from you so that you're not going to receive the destruction. But the missile's got to go somewhere. Satisfaction is Christ absorbing the wrath for you. I thought that was a pretty good illustration. Okay? But you'll see it's used in Scripture. And if you trace that usage, you get a little better idea of what it is. Okay? So propitiation. All right. Joshua. The book. That's a good place to start. Where else will you find references to Joshua?
Chloe. Exodus 17:10.
Okay, Exodus 17:10. And what do we first find out about this man, Joshua?
He is the son of Nun.
Man with no parents, son of Nun. Okay. Anybody else find another reference? Hannah?
Numbers 14.
And what was significant in Numbers 14 for this man, Joshua?
It says that Joshua and Caleb were among those who spied out the land for their foes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is the land of Israel, is an exceedingly good land.
So he and Caleb were the only two of the 12 spies that actually had a good report. The others did not. All right. Anybody find a reference about Joshua being a general, not in Joshua? No. It's in the books of Moses. Deuteronomy, it talks about him. There's an attack, and Joshua's the one who goes out, and he's the general. So he's already being prepared for taking over. All right. I'd leave that off, but I need to see my notes. All right, Babylon. That's an interesting place to look up.
Revelation 14:8.
Oh, we're going to go to the end first, okay. The last shall be first. Okay, is that the city of Babylon in Revelation?
I believe
so. So it's more of the whole system, Babylon, the world economic system. How about the city? A reference to the city of?
First Chronicles.
Okay, First Chronicles. There's a reference to Babylon as a place. Let's see. It shows up quite a bit in a particular book. Daniel. Yeah, it kind of happens in Babylon.
Ezra.
They come from Babylon back to the land. Okay, so this is pretty easy, right? I can. Now, where are you finding your information? How are you finding your cross-references?
I use the
concordance. Anybody use a topical Bible? No. Okay. That's another place you can find it. It looks like a Babylon, and there's all sorts of things. Okay. You could also look Babylon up in a Bible dictionary, encyclopedia. Son of man. And who is the Son of Man? Anybody find any references in Ezekiel?
Chloe did.
Chloe did. Yay, Chloe. Yeah. So who is the Son of Man in Ezekiel?
Ezekiel.
Okay, it's a title actually given to Ezekiel. He's just referred to as Son of Man. Okay. Another one, Hannah.
Daniel 7:13.
One who will look like a son of man. Okay. References to Jesus.
Karen? Mark 8:31.
Mark 8:31. References to Jesus. Okay, so Son of Man is a title used for Jesus, and actually there it Jesus is humanity, but he's deity. Other places you'll find it's really an emphasis upon his humanity. So context makes a big difference. Okay? Why would that kind of study be helpful?
You can probably find out that it was a way that Christ declared his deity to the Jews.
He did, because they were looking for a title, but it also makes sure that you're not going to get fooled when someone uses it in a different context. Okay, you don't want to get fooled that Ezekiel is some kind of a theophany. He wasn't. He was a son of man. He was just a regular old human person. A guy. All right. Word or phrase. So here's, this will be on the PowerPoint. So here's just a few that I found. Notice that some of these are the same ones you found. Just look in the same place, right? Okay. So let's go have a passage, and you're going to look up the Greek word. So you can spend a couple of years learning Greek, and you just look it up in Greek. Just read the passage. That's pretty easy, but that's several years to do that. So you had to find an alternative way to figure it out, right? So what did you use? You used logos. You hovered the cursor over and pow, there it was. That was pretty easy, wasn't it? If you set your audio right, it might even go pow. I don't know.
Ding. I used to use it when it wasn't enough. Like, at first it's hard to figure out, but then once I did a little bit, it made more sense.
Okay, so two computer programs being used. These swords, easy too. I don't. Hover, or do you have to click it?
It was right on the screen, so it was just hard to like figure out.
You could click it. Okay.
You just have to use the King James version.
Okay, the King James version, the sword, and then it comes right up. Okay. So it pops up the number. So how many use a concordance? Nobody. Ah, one. The old way. So you look it up, and you had to look up the number, and look up the number in the back. So Matthew 22:37, what's the word? Agapao. Okay. Agapao. Okay. Next one, John 15:10. Agape. Okay. So what's the difference between agapao and agape?
Agape.
One is a noun and one is a verb. Okay, easy if you know Greek, because that's the form. If not, you could figure that out in the context. How is it used? As a noun or a verb? Okay. Now, this is one reason you would look it up, because you might not recognize, is it a verb of calling you to do something, or is it just using a noun of describing something? If I look it up, I find it's a verb, and like, ooh, and it's the imperative case, like, ooh, that's a command. Right? All right, John 21:15. Okay. Two. Agapao and phileo are both there. Okay, phileo is another word for love. Now I have two Greek words for love. All right, you find that in logos, Esword? Mm-hmm. Saw that? Okay. Did you see that in the concordance?
No, I just looked at it. I mean, which one are you talking about? This 20?
John 21:15.
I got Theo. That's the one I saw.
Okay. Well, Theo is in there as well. Okay.